You are Locked On Jets, your daily podcast on the New York Jets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This is a Tuesday episode of the Locked On Jets podcast. It is November 20th, 2018. I'm your host, John B. from gangrenenation.com. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes or Spotify, and we'll deliver it to your device each morning so you can listen at your leisure. If you do enjoy the show, please leave it a good review in iTunes. We certainly do appreciate it. As I'll tell you all week, if you're traveling today, I hope you have a safe trip. I know a lot of people are on the road for Thanksgiving. Back when I was growing up, people always said that the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, the day before Thanksgiving, was the busiest travel day of the year. And I think through the years, word of that spread, and enough people started thinking, well, gee, I'm not going to travel Wednesday, I'm going to travel Tuesday instead. So I remember reading a couple of years ago that, you know, enough people like had been spooked by traveling on Wednesday and had begun traveling on Tuesday that today actually became the biggest travel day of the year, the Tuesday before Thanksgiving. I mean, I don't know what it is now, but I'm sure the roads, the airports, the train stations are all full all week. So again, please be safe on the road if you're traveling or on the rails, in the air. Just hope you have a safe trip. And hopefully this podcast will help you get through things a little bit. Today's topic is pressure. The Jets, of course, are through their bye now. They resume the 2018 season this Sunday against the New England Patriots. And what I wanted to talk about today are the people who I think are under the most pressure for this Jets team over the last 6 weeks to deliver. Now, pressure is a relative term. Obviously, the Jets at 3-7, probably not making the playoffs. And even though they, again, remain mathematically alive, as we've discussed on recent shows, the fact that they've gotten to 3-7 through these 10 games, and you look at the schedule and you look at who's coming up, boy, it's going to be a tough hill to climb. But there is still pressure on some certain guys on this team. And that's what we're going to talk about. Now, one guy who I'm going to tell you is not, I don't think, is under big pressure, and it may surprise you, is the quarterback. I do not think Sam Darnold is a guy I'd consider under big pressure for this team, mainly because this team has so much invested in him that he's going to be the guy this team builds around for the foreseeable future. It's really other people who are under pressure because the Jets don't have a choice but to build around Sam Darnold. That's just the way it works when you trade up to third overall to draft a quarterback. Your team is totally committed to that guy. Now, Darnold's presence raises pressure on some other guys, and I think that there's nobody who's under more pressure over the last 6 weeks than the head coach of this team, Todd Bowles. And I think it's deserved. You want me to be honest with you? I think it's deserved. We're in year four. Hasn't made the playoffs yet. Looks like he's not going to make the playoffs again. And really, the only successful year was year one. And when you're trying to build something for the long term, whether you're a coach, whether you're a GM, the least important year in your tenure is year one in terms of record, one loss record at least. Now, there are other aspects that are important, but if your only successful year in terms of wins and losses is your first year, that's not a very good sign. You look at what Bowles has done in his tenure, and quite frankly, I'm to the point, look, I've been willing to play this out over the long run. I don't think you should change coaches constantly every 2 years, every 3 years. I am a believer. I've become over time a believer that you should give people 4 years in this league to try and figure things out. Unless there's something like just truly spectacularly bad. I don't think that there's anything spectacularly bad about Bowles. You know, people tend to exaggerate. When things are bad, people will always exaggerate. I remember Rex Ryan was Rich Kotite. Eric Mangini was Rich Kotite. Now Bowles is Rich Kotite. Well, Bowles is not Rich Kotite. If you're saying that, you do not remember the Kotite years, or you are misremembering the Kotite years. Bowles is not Rich Kotite, but Bowles has not really shown me a lot to suggest that he's a great coach. You know, you talk about when he was brought in, he was supposed to be really a defensive wizard. That was one of the things he was supposed to bring on the table. It's been spotty. It's been up and down. Part of it's been personnel, of course, but I have not seen the type of defensive artistry in terms of scheme that people were projecting when the Jets hired Bowles. I haven't seen really the creativity in many instances that I saw when he was in Arizona. I mean, there are other issues. Building a staff. I'm not impressed with the staff Bowles has built. I mean, heck, he's gone through three offensive coordinators in 3 years, and the odd thing was that he ran out the guy who was probably the best of the three, if we're talking about, you know, what the guy did with what he had to work with, in John Morton. I mean, that was a puzzling move. I'm not that impressed with a lot of the faces, well, a lot of the other faces on the staff, whether we're talking coordinators, whether we're talking, you know, what the position coaches have done. Bowles is a guy who struggled with game management. I don't. That's another issue. That just has not gotten better. He's making very odd decisions within games. He's almost giving up on some of these games in the fourth quarter when his team's behind by not being more aggressive going for it on fourth downs when there's nothing to lose. I mean, these are just moves that are puzzling. They're moves that just don't make sense. And you're seeing them consistently. You're seeing this coach do these things consistently. And all this was bad. And listen, there are lots of other areas where being a head coach matters. I think the most important one, though, you go back to Darnold. Darnold's not under pressure, but Bowles is certainly under pressure because the Jets are going to have to make a determination at the end of the year who is the best guy for Sam Darnold. Who's the guy who's going to get the most out of Sam Darnold? Who's the guy who's going to develop Sam Darnold? And have you seen anything this year or in the years that preceded that suggests that Bowles is that guy? That Bowles can put... Now, listen, you don't need to be an offensive... You don't need to be a head coach who comes from the offensive side of the football, but you do need to put the infrastructure in place. You know, if you're not an offensive coach, you need to have an eye for talent. You need to know how to complement your weaknesses. You need to know how to bring in the right guy to run your offense. And that's not something Bowles has done particularly effectively during his tenure. And I mean, I think if he's not out of time, he's almost out of time. You know, Jamal Adams can talk, and listen, I respect Jamal Adams. I think Jamal Adams is having a great year. I think Jamal Adams is really starting to justify that number six overall selection. Nothing against Jamal Adams. Everybody says he's a leader. But here's the thing. Jamal Adams can talk all he wants about how, you know, the team's still rallying around Bowles. The team still believes in Bowles. Bowles shouldn't be blamed. Talk is cheap. That talk means nothing when you go out and play the way this team did against Buffalo, the way this team played against Miami, or the way this team played against Chicago. It doesn't matter what you say. It matters what you do. You can say all you want that this team still is responding to Bowles. The evidence is right there. The thing about football, the thing about sports in general, is that success and failure are objective. You can see it through the actual performance. And this team just has not performed for its head coach. So barring something really just, I mean, totally out of the blue, a huge run that this team's going to make, that this team almost has to make against tougher competition down the stretch than they played earlier in the season. And growth from Bowles as a coach in terms of putting that infrastructure, you know, showing that you can develop a quarterback in terms of running the games better. I mean, just so many areas. This has to get better, and that's why I think Bowles is under the most pressure, because he's the guy who's most likely to lose his job right now. MyBookie is slammed with new bettors and wants to give everyone the best service possible. If you're willing to deposit after 7 p.m. Eastern Time, they'll give you an additional $25 free play on deposits over $100. Join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie today, that's MyBookie, and if you use promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account, you can claim up to $1,000 in free play, and if you're willing to hold out until after 7 p.m. Eastern Time, you can get an extra $25 free play by using promo code LOCKEDON25, LOCKEDON number two, number five. You play, you win, you get paid at MyBookie. Action Heat makes the world's best battery-heated clothing. Heat on demand at the touch of a button. Control your environment with Action Heat. Action Heat clothing is engineered to safely and efficiently deliver heat via heating panels similar to a heated car seat. They can reach temperatures of up to 135 degrees and are powered by a rechargeable 5-volt lithium-ion battery that lasts up to 12 hours on each charge. Action Heat batteries can also be used to recharge your phone or any other gadget while you're wearing them. Perfect for any friend or family on your holiday gift list. Great for anyone who works outdoors, skiers, snowboarders, or anybody that loves the outdoors or hates being cold. Action Heat clothing provides toasty warmth and comfort for your whole body, including heated jackets, socks, gloves, hats, and even undergarments like heated base layer shirts and long johns. You can stay warm and cozy from head to toe with Action Heat. Action Heat is available in men's and women's and has great new styles and models just released for this winter season. Make winter activities more enjoyable with a blast of warmth. Action Heat is the perfect solution to keep you warm and toasty, even in the most frigid weather. And we have a special deal for our listeners to save 20% off your entire order. Just go to actionheat.com/lockedon. That's actionheat.com/lockedon to check out everything Action Heat has to offer. That's actionheat.com/lockedon, or use the coupon code LOCKEDON at checkout to save 20%. Stay toasty warm while you enjoy all your outdoor activities this winter with Action Heat, and we thank them for sponsoring the Locked On Jets podcast. We're here on Locked On Jets. We're talking about who's under pressure in the second half of the NFL season for the Jets, or I guess the last 6 weeks. We're kind of past the halfway point. This bye comes a little after the halfway point, and we kicked off our show talking about the pressure Todd Bowles is under. Now, I'm going to move on to not just a person, not the coach, not a player, but I think just a unit. And for the Jets, I think it's the offensive line. And the reason I'm going to put this on the offensive line is, first of all, Sam Darnold's really important to this team. And, you know, we talked about how Todd Bowles is going to impact his development, and Darnold's presence puts a little more pressure on Bowles than he's faced in the past, because the most important thing for this team is for Sam Darnold to develop in the future. So you want the surroundings around him to be really good. Well, one of the most important things you can do for a young quarterback is give him a quality offensive line. These are the guys protecting him. These are the guys who are responsible for preventing him from being injured. This is the franchise here. You don't want this guy being injured the way he was, the way he had to miss a game against Buffalo because he was banged up, because, you know, in part because he keeps getting hit so much. So I think that this puts a lot of pressure on the offensive line. But also, and we talked about a little bit about this yesterday, pretty much everybody on this offensive line could be replaced after the season, because you got a lot of guys who are conceivable cap casualties. You know, Kelvin Beachum would save $8 million, only count $1.5 million against the cap if he's cut in dead money. James Carpenter's a free agent. Spencer Long, zero in dead money, $6.5 million cap savings have cut. Brian Winters, zero in dead money, $6.5 million cap savings have cut. Brandon Schell, I think, is going to be back. I think he's having a decent enough year that he'll be back. But I think there's a lot of pressure on this offensive line going forward, because, you know, there's a lot, because these guys, first of all, these guys have not performed well enough. I mean, I think any assessment of this offensive line would be, listen, are these guys the Giants? No. I mean, but you don't, that's not necessarily a sign that everything's okay. You can be better than the Giants offensive line and still have a lot of problems and still not be the type of unit you want to support your young quarterback, to protect your young quarterback. And I think each and every one of these guys on this line has struggled at points this season. I think of them, Beachum, and we'll leave Schell out of the discussion because I think he's young, or youngish enough, and he's on a cheap contract next year that he'll be back. But I think of the other four, you know, the four veteran guys, Beachum's probably been the best, but he's had some really rough moments. I think he had a really bad Buffalo game. And the interior guys, I just think it's been a struggle. I think it's, you know, Winters got off to a decent start, I thought, this year. Carpenter has been more down than up. I think Winters has been more down than up after his decent start. And Spencer Long's just been a, let's be honest, Spencer Long has been a catastrophe at the center position for this football team this year. I don't think that there's really any way you can look at that signing as anything other than just a colossal failure so far. And look, part of it may be injury. We know he's been playing banged up. Has the hand had something to do with the bad snaps? Maybe. I don't know that you can necessarily say with 100% certainty that if Spencer Long didn't have this hand condition that, you know, everything would be fine, because he's also missing a lot of blocks. He's committing a lot of penalties. And I know he also has a lower body injury that could be impacting, you know, his athleticism, his explosion out of his stance after he snaps. But I mean, you look at that, that's just, it just has not been good enough. You have not been getting what you need from Spencer Long at center. And once again, we talked about it. How many times did we talk about it last year? How many times did we say Wesley Johnson is the weak link of this unit? Wesley Johnson is the weak link of this offensive line. And plenty of fans, and not totally unjustly, laid it all at Wesley Johnson's feet. And they said, you know something? The Jets get a better center in here, it's going to fix everything. Everybody else is going to look a lot better. Well, you know the funny thing about that theory? We haven't been able to test it out, because it's entire. Listen, I'm not sure I buy it, because I think there have been enough struggles by these guards, by Beachum. I think there have been enough struggles independent of the center position where you just watch guys losing their assignment, missing blocks, blowing their own assignment. It's been bad. I think it's been bad. But here's the thing. It's not like you can say that this center position has really improved all that much this season. It really hasn't. And if anything, I think if you look at some of the numbers, there's a case to be made that Spencer Long has, and this is amazing, people say reflexively, it's just reflexively, it's so ingrained that Wesley Johnson was a problem last year that people say, well, Long's a marginal upgrade. You look at some of the numbers, you know, the pass blocking efficiency numbers, penalties, how effective the Jets have been running the ball behind the center. There's a case to be made, and this is troubling stuff, that Spencer Long has been worse in 2018 than Wesley Johnson was in 2017. And that, my friends, is a very troubling, very upsetting development for this team. The only thing you can say about Spencer Long, the only, and this is not really, when this is the only good thing you can say, you know that the contract is bad. The contract was at least well-structured, unlike some of the other deals the Jets have made, where the Jets can get out of this after a year. As I mentioned, zero dead money after this season. So at least the Jets can get out of this deal conceivably. And I don't know, maybe the Jets, and look, with the snapping being such an issue, the Jets may have it in their mind that they're going to kick Long over to guard, and maybe that'll help solve something. You know, he'll have less on his plate if they kick him over to guard. He won't have to worry about snapping. He can just fire out of his stance. Maybe, you know, again, maybe the injuries are in play, but heck, I don't even know how much I trust him at guard at this point. He's been having such a rough time. So, and this goes in, but Long has been the biggest defender, but if we're going to be honest here, this offensive line just has not gotten the job done. It has been a big frustration. I don't want to say a huge disappointment, because this was a big concern heading into the year. You know, it could have gone one of two ways. If everything broke right, you could have seen this being a middle of the pack type offensive line. It's a below average unit. Again, it's not the worst in the league. It's not the Giants, but it's down there. It's clearly a below average unit, and these guys are all looking at potentially being replaced. And look, I'm not sure the Jets can replace all of them, but each and every one of those guys should be worried, because the Jets should at least be able to replace the weakest links. And so these guys better get their act together, and they better do a better job protecting Sam Darnold. So that's what I'll tell you. I think this offensive line is under a lot of pressure. And part of protecting is also run blocking, because one way you take the pressure off your young quarterback is run the ball effectively, and the run blocking has been spotty as well. So this unit's got to play better. I think there's a lot of pressure on this unit heading into the final six games of the season. It's a Tuesday episode of Locked On Jets. We're talking about who the pressure's on over the last six games of the season. And I'm going to end by looking at a guy making a lot of money who has not delivered for this team. And it's not a guy who's really in danger of being cut just because of the way his contract was structured. I mean, we talked a little bit earlier about the good structure of the Spencer Long deal. In terms of structure, at least, this is the anti-Spencer Long deal. This is a poorly structured contract, and that is the number one corner on this team, Trumaine Johnson, who has been just about, this season has been about as bad as you might have feared if you did not like this contract heading into the season, because this contract looks horrible right now, and we're getting past the point where you can only say it's only six games, it's only eight. I mean, we're 10 games in now, and we're at the point where I think there has to be a lot of big concern about where this contract's heading. Because if you look at the way Johnson's playing, a lot of his issues stem from a lack of speed. And when you're 28 years old, speed doesn't get better. You lose your speed, you're not going to get it back. You know, I've heard frequently, well, you have to play Johnson in press coverage. Well, first of all, if I'm paying a corner that much money, I want to be able to play him in any coverage possible. But, you know, if you don't have speed, it impacts everything, because when you play press coverage, one of the most important it's important to have speed, because sometimes you're going to miss your jam in press coverage, and that means you're going to have to run step for step with a wide receiver. And if you can't do that, it limits your ability to play press coverage, because it becomes much more risky, because if guy's just going to run past you when you missed your jam on a deep route, I mean, you're virtually, it's almost an automatic touchdown. And that's kind of the point we're at with Johnson. You know, what bothers me is, like, when he's losing to guys like Dante Moncrief, which was an example earlier in the year against Jacksonville, where he misses a jam, Moncrief runs right past. Dante Moncrief's not good enough that he should be giving Trumaine Johnson problems. If Trumaine Johnson's supposed to be this great press corner, he better be able to press against Dante Moncrief. And when he, you know, so it's one thing to lose against receivers who are very skilled. I mean, I was always a big Dante Moncrief fan when he came out of school, but is that the type of guy Trumaine Johnson should be losing to? And he's been losing left and right. You know, it's the Cleveland game. Just, heck, the last game the Jets played against Buffalo, first play of the game, a guy who really isn't that great running past him. I mean, he's been losing to some bad receivers. So now people, you know, I'm hearing he can't play off coverage. He can't play speed receivers. You know, hear more. He's not quick and shifty. He can't play in a short area. He can't play guys who run crossing. I mean, it's almost like you hear all these excuses made, and you start to feel like, well, what, is this guy only capable of playing press coverage against receivers with no skills? I mean, at some point, yeah, this guy's making so too much money that to be shielded to this extent where you can only play him in press coverage, but you can't play him against fast receivers. You can't play him against this. You're making too much. I mean, you're supposed to be the number one corner on this team. You're the highest paid player on this team. You're the second highest paid corner in the league. You got to start producing. If you can't produce, I mean, this team's not going anywhere. So the Jets need to get, and part of it's been he's been banged up, which, you know, isn't his fault, but certainly doesn't help matters. So Trumaine Johnson's just got to get his act together. And I think there has to be big concern at this point, because you're looking at the extent to which his issues are caused by a lack of speed. He's never been the most blazing fast guy, but one of the things is when you're dealing with guys with corners who aren't that fast to begin with, there's a threshold of speed you have to have. And if he wasn't that fast to begin with, and then he's losing speed, that could be a big problem. You know, if a guy who's fast who loses a little bit of speed is still going to be pretty fast. Guy blazing fast, loses a little speed, he's still going to be fast enough to catch up. A guy who isn't fast, when he loses speed, it's troubling. And so, you know, I don't know that there's an answer for this. I just think you just have to hope that something clicks. I mean, I don't even know. I got to be honest with you, I don't have a lot of faith in Johnson, but this team needs him to start playing better. And I think we're at a scary point with him, because I'm not sure what the solution is other than just hope there's something I'm not seeing out there. And maybe there is. Listen, there's always a possibility he bounces back. But I think we're at the point where I'm just hoping that I'm misreading the situation, that there's something I'm not seeing, and that it's going to get better. That's all for our show today. Thank you for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast. It's part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you enjoy the show, subscribe, iTunes, Spotify, and do leave the show a good review in iTunes if you do enjoy it. Hope you have a great Tuesday. We'll be back again tomorrow for the day before Thanksgiving.